Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your humble, gracious host, Daniel Hubbard. Surrounding me are my co-hosts and good friends. My brother Doug's here.
Hello.
Eric's here.
What's up?
Our buddy Clint is here.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing? And we also have Stevie here. How you doing, Stevie?
Good. How are you doing?
Can't complain.
Stevie on his third phone this month.
Yeah, on my third phone this month.
But he's here.
Third phone this month. Wow.
He actually took me seriously.
Nah. Tonight we have the... our second rivalry retrospective, so this is a big one. The Fabulous Freebirds versus the Von Erichs. And we got a lot to get into, got a lot to unpack, and it's going to be a fun episode. Before we get to that, let's get to Doug with the plugs.
Okay. First of all, before we get to the plugs, I just have to say that this is actually the first episode that we've done where a lot of this, or like the good majority of this, took place before any of us were even alive. So, well, yeah, because by the time Eric came out, the thing was over with already. They were the Freebirds were all in different territories. All right. So anyway, listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday, Friday night, Mixlr.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time. Listen to us Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. BlogTalkRadio.com/EverythingUnscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I've already basically had the month of March planned out. All right, but next week, obviously, the last day and or the last weekend or Friday in February, we are actually going to be doing a pay-per-view retrospective on No Way Out 2001.
Nice. That's
so,
Austin Triple A Street Fight, right?
Three Stages of Hell, yeah.
Yeah, the first ever Three Stages of Hell match. Got that to look forward to. Listen, why do you interrupt me every time when I'm doing the plugs? Shush it until I give you the cue. Every damn time. All right. Listen to us this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern time?
Yeah.
6 p.m. Eastern time here on the same channel for Settle It in the Ring. Boxman will be back to defend his crown. He's going to defend Daniel and an opponent to be named. Originally scheduled to be Clinton, but unfortunately situations out of our control basically mean that Clinton has to wait another week before he can challenge for the crown. Listen to that. Also, Controlled Chaos will be making its way back soon, I believe, right?
Yeah.
We hope. And that's pretty much it. Now Eric can talk if he wants.
All right. Well, I'll actually start with Eric. Because the Fabulous Freebirds of the Von Erichs is a huge feud. Before we get into the actual feud, I kind of want to give a little bit of backstory on both. We'll start with the Von Erichs. Eric, what's your first memory of hearing about the Von Erichs? I know they're a little before your time, but we've done a little bit on them. What's your first memory of hearing about the Von Erich Boys?
I think I was watching MLW when the two sons?
Yeah, Kevin's two sons.
Yeah, that's when I got into the Bionetics.
Gotcha. Clint, what's your first earlier memories of the Von Erich Boys?
Well, I'll tell you too. This is like I'm one of those sit back and I want to relax and learn. This is my learning experience because it's hard for me to find stuff about the Freebirds or the Von Erichs. So I want to like take time and to talk to you guys and learn more about what happened and maybe I can get some insight about what to go and look for between going back and new. That's the
how many pads of paper do you think he has in front of him right now so he can take notes?
I don't have pads and papers. Thank you very much.
He's not writing down.
I'm not writing stuff down, but this is a mental block in my head.
Yeah, mental notes. Mental notes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. That works. Stevie, I know you're an old school guy. First memory of the Von Erichs.
Of the Von Erichs?
Yeah.
Probably when they were in World Class Championship Wrestling. I think they had some good matches.
Okay. Now, Dougie, I know you're
I was just going to say, you are going to ask me, right?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you. The worst.
I'm just kidding.
But the Von Erichs, you're a big territory guy. You love the territories. I know you're a big Dallas fan.
Yeah.
Talk about your first memories of the Von Erichs, and more or less, not just your first memories. Give us some background here on the Von Erichs.
Okay. So first, my first memory is the first memory I can remember is watching Kerry at WrestleMania 7.
Yeah.
When he was in the WWF.
Yes.
That is the first thing I recall. Now, the first memory I was told of by our lovely mother was apparently I was such a huge fan of the Von Erichs and World Class Championship Wrestling when I was like really little.
Yeah.
Like one or two. That the station that it would come on was out of service one day. And I threw such a fit that mom had to call the cable company to find out where the channel went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, again, I was only like one or two because by the time I turned two, World Class was done.
Yeah.
So that is the first memory I remember being told of the Von Erichs. Now, the backstory. You want the backstory on the feud or just the backstory on the family?
Just talk about Fritz and the three boys coming into prominence a little bit. Set the stage.
Okay.
Before we get into the feud.
So Fritz Von Erich was the owner / promoter of World Class Championship Wrestling, which is in Dallas, Texas. Now, Fritz was a big, big time heel back in his day. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, before moving to Dallas. As a matter he was billed as this evil German heel. And he was a big heel back in Buffalo. Yeah, he worked the Buffalo territory. You know, back in the 50s and 60s. Back when Buffalo was considered actually its own territory.
Was it really?
Yeah. And he actually, as a matter of fact, Daniel, our grandfather, back in the 60s, they used to have wrestling matches every Friday night. Or 50s and 60s. And our grandfather, obviously before he met Grandma, or he met Nana, and I think before Mom and Sharon were around,
he
would go to the wrestling matches every Friday night because they were like $3. And he told me a couple of times, he's like, oh, yeah, I used to see Fritz Von Erich every Friday night. Because Fritz would work on top. One of the big heels in that territory, one of the big baby faces in that territory was Bobo Brazil.
and before Bubba Brazil moved back into Detroit, which is where he was from, he drew a lot of money in Buffalo. So Fritz and Bubba would actually, you know, work against each other quite a bit. You know, Bubba's the top babyface, Fritz the top heel. All right, so anyway, so Fritz had a total of 6 sons. Now, Fritz actually, the oldest boy, Jack Jr., Fritz's real name is Jack. Jack Jr. actually was electrocuted when he was 7. He basically, he was shocked by an electric fence, and he fell down into a puddle of water and actually drowned. Okay? In Texas, which is actually one of the reasons why Fritz actually moved on to another territory, because he didn't want to live in Texas for a while. They moved back, and then you had then Kevin was the oldest after Jack Jr., David, Carrie, Mike, and then Chris. And Fritz basically had the territory and was promoting his sons to be his top stars, especially when he couldn't be a top star anymore when he retired. So the 3 biggest stars were Carrie, David, and Kevin. Kevin, you know, Kevin was very agile, very athletic. Carrie was good looking, had a great body, great build. Girls loved him.
David was the best wrestler.
David was the best wrestler because David also had the better mind.
Yeah.
David basically, had not David passed on, he would have
won the world title.
Would have won the world title from Ric Flair and eventually, I think, taken over the territory from Fritz.
So?
Yeah. The funny thing is that Fritz always saw Kerry as the biggest star. Because Kerry had the best build and Kerry was also attracting that female audience.
Well, all 3 boys kind of did, though. When you, like, I see,
Kevin, not so much.
Well, I see the videos, though. Of them entering the ring, and the girls are on all of them. Like, legit, like, because this is back when they thought it was real, obviously, but also, these guys were like celebrities. I mean, I guess they are now, but to kind of a lesser degree. And there was girls, like, legit throwing themselves at the Von Erichs. Like, you didn't see old videos of them walking to the ring, and girls are over the barricade.
Contrary to what happens when we enter the room, girls throw themselves in front of a bus when they see So Fritz was of the mindset, and a lot of promoters were like this back then, of, you know, if they are the product of what's the best way to put this without getting thrown off the air? If they are the product of my, then, you know, they're the best put on top besides me.
Yeah.
So, you know, he wanted to push, he pushed all his boys. And Kevin, Kerry, and David were obviously the most successful.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the other 2 weren't successful, but I think that's because Mike, I really don't think, had his heart in the business.
Yeah.
And Chris was just too small.
We know what happened.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so the boys basically were kind of groomed by Fritz and by Fritz to, you know, just to be the guys, to be the top stars. And for a while, like, nobody was really, like, they weren't being challenged. Like, the territory was just kind of there. At the time, I would probably say the number one territory in wrestling at that time was probably the AWA. Yeah. They were drawing record houses, record numbers.
That's technically a territory, though, right?
They were more of a promotion than a territory.
Yeah.
If you were going territory-wise, the best territory was either Mid-South or Florida.
Right.
So, Eric, who's the best Von Erich?
In terms of popularity, it's Carrie. In terms of talent, it was probably... Michael? No, not Michael. Other... Carrie, Kevin... Is it Kevin?
Kevin was a Von Erich brother, yeah.
I think you're thinking of David, maybe? Because he was probably...
Yeah, David, yeah.
David was
probably the most talented one.
Yeah. I would too.
But he's the one that died.
God bless their
first,
mother.
Right?
Yes. God bless her mother having to live with six men.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin's the one that's still around. You're not so hot on Kevin. Why?
I think he was the least talented in the ring. I think he had the least amount of charisma. However, I do think he made the best life choices.
Yeah. I was just wondering. Who do you think is the best Von Erich?
I think the more successful Von Erich ended up being Carrie.
Yeah.
I think the best Von Erich, had not anything happened to him, David would have been a star.
The three of that, what are some big Von Erich programs besides the Freebirds? With the three boys against somebody else.
I mean, they had tremendous like singles, right? Like David had some good singles programs against Jimmy Garvin.
Yeah.
Kamala, Bundy when he was there. All, you know, any of them against Flair.
Yeah.
Can I say something or?
Go ahead.
I think, Kerry versus Flair for the NWA title was a good one.
Oh yeah. In the ballpark?
Well, inside, I think they had a match inside the steel cage.
That, which is actually, and I'm glad he brought that up, because that's actually what started the Von Erich Freebird.
Yeah.
So he...
I remember that.
He kind of, you know, he brought up basically, you know, what was the starting point. I don't know if he did it on purpose, but good for him for bringing it up. But, yeah, I mean, so this whole thing started Christmas night, 1982.
Is it the Freebirds' first appearance in Dallas?
No, they had been the Hayes and Gordy started in the territory, I think, in earlier 82.
Because I want to break down that.
They were actually six-man tag champions with Dave.
Were they really?
Yeah.
So they were faces.
Yeah.
Had the had the Freebirds been a heel yet?
Not there. Everywhere else, yeah.
Were they already established that the JYD thing happened yet?
The JYD thing, I don't know if they were established. That was like their first major angle. Because Watts, I think Watts actually takes credit for putting them together. Even though Gordy and Hayes were friends outside of it. All right, so...
Get into it. Get in the background of the Freebirds.
I'm trying to.
Well, you start getting into a few of your swaying off topics. So.
Well, nobody ever does that on this show. So Michael Hayes grew up not necessarily as a wrestling fan, but, you know, you hear of, like, guys that, grew up, whatever. So, like, in, I think it was Alabama, or it was in the Gulf Coast somewhere. It was Alabama, Florida, you know, some state where it's legal to marry your own cousin. Michael Hayes was friends with several people that would eventually become wrestlers.
Yeah.
John Tatum, who actually introduced him to wrestling, got him to be a wrestling fan. Paul Bear was actually a childhood friend of Michael Hayes. Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express. And Terry Gordy. Hayes was 19 when he started. Gordy was 17. Okay. Buddy Roberts was already in the business. And they had went, they started, I forgot where they, I think they started in Florida. And then when they made it to Mid-South, Bill Watts saw big money in Terry Gordy. And Hayes and Gordy wanted to be a team. Bill Watts thought Michael Hayes' work was the shit.
But he arguably was.
Yeah. However, he was a good promo.
So
Buddy Roberts happened to be around. So they were going to put Terry and Buddy as a team and have Michael be the manager. Thing is that Buddy didn't really want to wrestle that much anymore. Unless it was like tags and shit. Michael really wanted to be in the ring. So it kind of got reversed that way. So Bill Watts actually basically stakes the claim that it was his idea to put the Freebirds together. Now, up to the point where they got to Dallas, everywhere they had worked, they had gotten fired from. Very quickly. We're in Memphis for a short time, and according to Michael Hayes, Jerry Lawler tried to set his hair on fire. They were in, well, Mid-South, they had their biggest run. They were in Memphis. I mean, later on, they would try to go to the WWF, and then Andre had enough of them after one night, said, fuck you, and fired them. You know, they went to the AWA for a short time. Michael Hayes didn't get along with Vern Gagne. Right there, Michael Hayes didn't get along with somebody, or somebody couldn't get along with Vern Gagne. So that didn't work. But when they got the World Class, it clicked.
So was World Class their last?
No, because they would go. They actually left in '84 to go to the WWF.
So the Mid-South stuff was before that. So they're already established by
yes.
the time they get here.
Yeah. Was that the original question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get into some other Freebird shenanigans in World Class besides the Von Erichs.
I mean, Buddy Roberts had issues with Iceman King Parsons. They had the famous hair match.
Yeah.
Which, and I really didn't know this a lot back then because I always thought like a haircut. It has to do with, like, you know, just cutting the hair. But also in a hair versus hair match, there's hair removal cream. So, like, they had this match between Iceman and Buddy Roberts. The loser would, it was hair versus hair, but it wasn't loser would get their head shaved. The loser would have to douse their head in hair removal cream. Okay? Which, instead of going to get a haircut tomorrow, why don't we just buy hair removal cream and just do it that way? I promise not to put it on my balls again this time. But, because it stings. But yeah, no, like Buddy Roberts and Iceman King Parsons, that was a feud. I remember when they tried to turn the bird's face and, Terry Gordy would work against Killer Khan.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, they came in. At first, they were friends. But, you know, then General Akbar kind of threw his money around had a disagreement with Michael Hayes, and so Terry Gordy and Killer Khan actually had to turn on each other because they're big mouth idiot managers or partners or whatever the hell you want to call it. They couldn't get along.
All right. I think we've set the scene enough. Now get into the infamous steel cage match that Stevie was. Actually, let's throw it to Stevie first. You mentioned the steel cage match with Flair and Kerry. Now, this is basically right. Where this whole beautiful rivalry starts in front of our very eyes. Describe it a little bit.
In front of our very eyes. We weren't alive yet.
If you watch it on YouTube, it can still be before your very eyes. We're on the WWE Network. It's only $9.99 a month until it goes to Peacock.
It's still $9.99.
Yeah, but that's for both services, not just the network.
Okay.
Stevie, describe the match a little bit and what happens, and give your thoughts, if you could.
Okay. I'm trying to think because I don't know when the last time I've seen it.
You don't have to
I
describe
thought it was. A, it. I thought I okay. Well, I thought it was an intense match. You had Flair as the NWA champion defending his title against Kerry Von Erich. I thought it was pretty much intense. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I 100% agree. Doug, you want to get into the little thing? Well, not the big thing that starts this whole thing?
So Michael Hayes was picked as a ringside enforcer. Because, again, he was David Von Erich's six-man tag partner.
Babyface.
Yes. So he basically is picked as a special enforcer because Flair had done some dubious things to, you know, retain the title against Kerry. Now, big surprise there. I mean, I know that, you know, Flair has become, you know, such a rule follower and, you know, would never break a rule. The retained means you successfully defended the title.
Okay.
Regained would be winning it back.
I haven't heard retained in a long time.
So anyway, so he defended the title and, you know, so he defended it by and retained by nefarious means, which is so out of character of him. I mean, he would never break the rule. So anyway, and Terry Gordy was the outside. He was the gatekeeper, so to speak, the keeper of the keys. Okay. Well, during the match, Ric Flair got on Michael Hayes' nerves. Again, big shock. And Michael Hayes decked decked Ric Flair and told Kerry to cover. Kerry said, no, I don't want to win the title. Which is an admirable baby face thing to do. However, it was extremely stupid. Take the easy way, you take it, pal. So, Michael Hayes, fuck it, I'm leaving. Goes to get out of the cage. Ric Flair, Kerry with a high knee, knocks Michael out of the cage. Terry Gordy sees this and slams the cage door in Kerry's head.
Boom, we're off to the race.
Exactly.
But there's more than that.
So Kerry loses the match. And then the other Von Erichs come out. And David says, how could you do this to my family? You know, we're supposed to be friends. And it goes from there.
Yeah. All right, so that's how we get started. Let's talk about some big moments here. I don't know if I have a timeline anywhere. This is a long ass time ago. How did Buddy get involved, Doug?
He basically, I mean, they needed a third partner. I mean, he was already, God, this is so long ago. They needed a third partner, and he was already technically part of the Birds anyway. But yeah, they brought him in because they needed another six-man tag partner. So, but yeah, I mean, pretty much he was just brought in because he had been a Freebird before. He was already there, so I mean, because he was technically, I believe, Hayes and Gordy's manager.
Now, let's talk about what made this feud so special. Is it because you got polar opposites? Three handsome young, you know, these are white meat baby faces in the purest form, and that's not even a knock.
Right.
I know people say there's a knock now, but these were white meat baby faces done right.
Yeah, and Kerry, Kevin, and David weren't that bad either.
Yeah. But, and then you got Terry Gordy, who, come on, the loudmouth Texan.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing. Like, they say they're from Georgia, right? No, Terry Gordy was born in Texas.
Yeah. He's a big, rough, tough son of a bitch. And then
yeah.
You got Michael Hayes, who's a big, loud, you know,
Terry Gordy, who was no saint, looked at the Ten Commandments as more of a suggestion. We're from God. And he also knew. He knew how to kick ass.
Yeah.
There was a story one time Michael Hayes told. There was Terry started an issue at the bar, or at a bar. And a guy actually pulls a gun out on him and starts shooting. Well, luckily, they missed. And Terry Gordy just goes, and Michael Hayes goes, "What is so funny, Terry?" He goes, "He missed." So then the guy tried again.
He didn't miss.
No, he still missed.
Who's your favorite Freebird?
Terry Gordy.
Stevie, who's your favorite Freebird?
Michael P.S. Hayes.
Eric, who's your favorite Freebird?
I guess Michael P.
Yeah,
now,
Michael P. is good.
He's my man. I mean, you still see his presence today on Creative.
I wanted to show.
Yeah, but I heard that Michael P.S. Hayes was a genius at coming up with things.
Hey, I mean, he's very smart.
Yeah, I mean, before they got here, and I think even after they came in, he would have the book a lot in Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, would you say Buddy was kind of like David to where he was the best wrestler of them all?
He was a more experienced wrestler.
Well, he was basically the guy that got the hell beat out of him because he sold the best, and then he would make.
Well,
the
yeah,
hot tag.
Terry Gordy should not sell. All right, Terry Gordy is too big to sell. Yeah. Michael Hayes is too shitty to sell.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Garvin wasn't a Freebird yet.
Now, is it true that this rivalry was so intense that it almost kind of made a state-on-state rivalry between Georgia and Texas?
Yeah.
And, like, people
I mean,
from Georgia
David even had to come out and say this is not between Texas and – this is not a war between Texas and Georgia. This is a war between decency and filth. And he had to do that because people from Texas and Georgia wanted to kill each other.
That's crazy.
Initially, the Dallas territory was never considered a marquee market for a wrestler to make some significant money. You know?
Right. Yeah, nobody said, hey, you know what? I really want to go to Dallas.
Yeah, and then you had Texas. They had a lot of territories, like across the state.
Right, Amarillo, Dallas, or obviously Dallas, Houston, El Paso, and San Antonio. And you got to remember, back around this time, the territory didn't cross, which basically means, and Texas was such a big state that if you lived in El Paso, you got the Guerrero's El Paso territory on your TV. You were not getting Dallas. You were not getting Houston. You may have gotten Amarillo because El Paso and Amarillo were close enough together.
But wrestling was big at this time, too, that they were all making money.
Yeah.
Because if you think about
it, the only territory you were not making money in was Memphis, and that's because Jerry Jarrett was pocketing all of it.
What?
So, what are some big moments that you remember, Doug, from this feud that really got hot? Because, I mean, we can talk about some of the matches, but it's not like they were on any specific pay-per-views or anything. They didn't have pay-per-views.
I remember a lot. There was a country whipping match between, I think it was Terry and Michael versus Kevin and Kerry. And country whipping match means you get to use leather straps. Now, the match ended in a DQ because, you know, you got disqualified for throwing your opponent over the top rope. Now, you could whip him with a belt, but God forbid you throw him over the top rope. But one of the things I remember about that match is Kerry coming in and kind of flipping around the straps like nunchucks and just start whipping the shit out of Terry and Michael.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the match ended in a DQ. Kevin and Kerry both got whipped pretty good. Now, I forgot who came out to make the save. Somebody came out to make the save and chase the heels off.
Now, two matches to look for. David Von Erich and Terry Gordy in a handcuff match. I want to watch that. And Kerry and Kevin against Hayes and Gordy in the leather strap country whooping match.
Right.
We're just on it. Now, and obviously all the six mans, because that's what they were known for, fighting over the six man belts too, right?
They weren't even belts. I think it was a trophy.
So they did a lot of that. Was Gary Hart involved at all?
He was booking, he started booking the angle.
And then he left Ken Mantell.
Right, and Ken Mantell actually knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Even though, Gary Hart, I remember, bitched about Ken Mantell one time and said, you know, Ken Mantell, he wasn't good. I couldn't work with him. Then why the fuck did you leave? If you didn't think he was any good, he took over after you left, and I think he actually did a pretty good job.
I mean, he did, but he also had money on the table. Why the fuck not, right?
Yeah. Well, because also you got to remember, too, the Von Erichs and the Freebirds at this time, you know, 83, 84, not the only rivalry going on in the territory. Chris Adams and Jimmy Garvin had a hell of a thing going. You had Akbar's Super D's, the Super Destroyers, Bill and Scott Irwin. They had an issue going on with Iceman Parsons and JYD, because JYD was making some shots there. Because Bill Watts and Fritz Von Erich were buddies.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems like a weird combination. Is there any big moments, any other big moments you remember, Doug? Before we kind of move on,
just Fritz coming out of retirement for that six man in
at David's memorial show.
That's what we were going to move on to next.
How am I supposed to know that?
We're brothers. We're supposed to have some sort of fucking telepathy. Everyone knows how the story goes. David Von Erich passes away. He's in Japan. He's not home. A lot of people say, some people say it's drugs, but a lot of people say he just overate.
All right, he had a stomach condition.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of like the exact name of it.
Yeah. I think it was colitis or something. Or Crohn's, maybe.
No, it was not that. It was acute something. But it was an eating.
Let me see if I can look it up.
Yeah, would you? So basically, he was having stomach issues. And he was getting sick frequently after he ate before he went to Japan. And the doctors in Texas even said, you might not want to go. And he goes, well, I have to. I got to make money. Because, again, at this time, he's pretty sure he's going to be NWA World Champion at some point.
Yeah.
Mainly because that's what they told him.
Yeah. Back in the day, well, even still now, but back in the day, you want to go make some extra money. You want to go make a big purse. You go to Japan.
Right. So, he goes to Japan, and the famous steakhouse there, that Ribeiro's Steakhouse. Yeah. He enjoys himself a big steak, which that's the best steakhouse in Japan. So, duh.
Yeah.
So, enjoys himself a big steak. But there were guys that, were with him at that point that were he overate. Like Bill Irwin even says, he ate a lot that night. And then he went back to the hotel room and got room service. Okay. Now, some people can handle their food and can eat a lot.
Are you looking at me?
Because you're one of them, as am I. But unfortunately, because David had that illness, eating that much wasn't good for him. But he was, he was just having a good time. Unfortunately, yeah.
So they find him dead the next day. Fast forward. Now, I'm not saying that like a death.
He had to text it to us. He couldn't just say it on air.
Eric, I can't pronounce it.
Oh. Gastrointestinal perforation.
That's what he had. Now, I don't want to say like a death ruined anything because, I just don't want to say that. But it definitely, the feud took a toll. Like, it was over, pretty much. Like, they did more stuff, but the feud was the Freebirds versus Kevin, Carey, and David.
Right, and you also had to remember, too, David was going to get moved on to the NWA title picture.
Yeah.
And you were going to have... and they were training Mike how to wrestle.
Mike was going to step in. Anyway.
Mike, Carey, and
Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to step in and take on the Birds. But the problem is that now with David gone, Fritz needed one of the boys to take that spot. And he always wanted Carey to be the champion anyway.
Yeah.
Problem is, the NWA had more faith in David than they did Carey.
He's the older brother.
Well, he's older than Kerry, yeah. So, but yeah, so, yes, David passing. I mean, because even at that time, though, too, David was also carving his own identity. Going to Japan, you know, he was having the matches against Jimmy Garvin, working Kamala. So he was working a lot of guys, not just the Birds. The whole Freebirds thing was mainly Kevin and Kerry. David stepping in when he had to. Yeah.
And so they were grooming him.
Yeah.
But then he dies. And Mike's actually related to him, right? He's not the fake Von Erich?
No. The fake Von Erich was Lance.
Did he have anything to do with this feud at all? Or?
No, they didn't. Lance Von Erich was brought in 1986 because Kerry broke his leg in the motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
Kerry broke his leg. David was already gone. Mike was actually having his own health issues.
Yeah.
And so they needed another Von Erich to team with Kevin. So they decided, okay, well, we're going to come up with a fake cousin.
And that was not reviewed very well. But
no. Well, because here's the thing. The fans in Texas felt like they grew up with the boys.
Yeah,
and the boys grew up with them.
Yeah.
Like they knew the boys personally. And here you are, you're trying to pull one over, say, oh, yeah, this is a cousin of ours. Yeah, and, you know, the fans in Texas really didn't take too kindly to that. They talk about as kindly to that as I do every time Eric interrupts me when I'm doing plugs.
Well, we found that out.
Sorry.
It's okay. Well,
I still love you.
We love you. Now,
my sexy one.
Jesus. Now, why don't, because you said they were training Mike. This was already, the transition to Mike to the trio team was already going to happen, is what you're saying. Why didn't it click? His fans rejected this.
They were.
Did it just not feel the same?
I don't. Here's the thing. I don't think the fans rejected it as much as he did. I think the fans were going to accept him, or they were trying to accept him, but also too, you got to remember, they love David. Okay.
Big shadow. And you already have two shadows that are alive still.
Right.
You got to step in this other shadow.
And yeah. Also, too, if you look at the boys, David and Mike are like, Kerry and Kevin, you could tell that they're brothers.
Yeah.
And you could really tell that David and Mike were brothers because they looked very, very similar.
Yeah.
Okay. So. And I'm pretty sure they were close because David was actually helping, you know, David and Kerry were helping get Mike into the business. And there was a deal where Mike was going to start wrestling and Kerry gave Mike his ring jacket. Said, you're going to wear this. It's brought me a lot of good luck. So then of course, Michael Hayes came out and he ripped the ring jacket up. You know, that's what a heel's supposed to do. The reason why it really didn't click with Mike is I don't think his heart was in it. And I think the fans... Here's the thing. When the fans are so used to something and then, like, something happens to, like, you know, their hero or whatever... It's almost like on a TV show. You get so used to a character, and then that character, like the actor that or actress that plays that character leaves the show, and then you have another character come in and to replace that character.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily work out. Best example I can think of is Two and a Half Men. Right, Charlie Harper, Charlie Sheen was awesome on that show. Now, he was a piece of shit, but he was also funny. And I mean, the character would be dragged down for like the last couple of seasons. But everybody loved that character because you either knew somebody that was like that or you were a little bit like that yourself. I mean, I don't want to say that there's a lot of womanizing putzes out there, but still. He leaves the show because he got into a drunken episode with a porn star. Very talented porn star, by the way. Seen a couple of her things.
Come on.
And now he gets replaced by Ashton Kutcher, who, by the way, wasn't doing anything at the time. So,
a star, though.
No, he's the huge star. I mean, he had already made the transition into movies.
Yeah.
He was doing well with that, but, you know, they needed something. They bring him in, and it wasn't the same. So it didn't click because people missed Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Even though they could have ended it after season 8 because season 8 just went downhill.
Yeah. Another one, 8 Simple Rules.
Right.
When he died.
When John Ritter died, yeah.
And they brought in David Spade.
Right, exactly. You know, Spin City. Michael J. Fox, you know, first 4 years of the show, successful, tremendous show, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, you know, 9, and it was either 9 or 9, I think it was like 9:30. Well, times always varied back then. I love that show. He leaves. Charlie Sheen takes over. Not the same.
It's hard. And it's
not even with Charlie Sheen?
Huh?
Not even with Charlie? Wow.
Yeah, no, it didn't work because people... Well, and also, too, in the case of Spin City, the time... like, they kept switching time slots.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a story for a sitcom episode if we were to ever do one.
Which we kind of have, but
if we ever did sitcom retrospectives. But the point is
that's
that
a good idea.
So it's Clint is writing down on your notepad that you have in front of you. Anyway.
Clint hung up.
But the point is that they didn't, the fans just weren't,
sorry.
You know, awesome. The fans just weren't, you know, that, right? They missed David too much. It's so, like, that's the point.
Okay. So the feud's coming to an end here, pretty much. Now, the big thing, you kind of brought it up earlier because you like to blow your load early. one of the big things with Mike that he actually...
I mean, lately it does take me a while.
32,000 fans at Texas Stadium. 32,000 fans.
Yeah.
They were May over.
Very over. May of 1984... This is when Mike actually gets the show. Mike and Kevin and a returning Fritz Von Erich, the dad, recapture the six-man championship from the Freebirds, which is the same show.
This is when the match I watch.
This is the same show that Kerry Von Erich won the title from Flair in an emotional.
Right. Now, this is on the network, but it's on the network as, like, I think of like 2 or 3 separate episodes.
Is it?
Of World Class Championship Wrestling.
Really?
Yeah. I think, though, by the time they aired the title change between Kerry and Rick, I think Rick had already won the title back.
Right. That was emotional. That was big. Now, the feud ends. Well, first of all, Kerry Von Erich won the title with a backslide.
Yeah.
I love that happened. Now, the feud kind of ends, but it officially ends with a loser goes home match. Do you remember this one, Doug?
Loser leaves town. Eric Michael Hayes. And Kerry won.
Right, which actually, this match is actually supposed to happen in Christmas of 83. The loser can't wrestle in Texas for a year. And then I forgot what happened. Kerry won the match, but they ended up letting Michael come back anyway.
Yeah.
That's because he's Michael Hayes, right?
Yeah.
So that happens. They try to rekindle the feud later, but of course it's over.
Yeah.
It was the original, the 3-on-3. Now, would you say that this feud, the Freebirds did a lot of the heavy lifting because they were such great heels and you really didn't have to do much against them?
No, I mean, yeah, I would say that because you didn't have a hotter act than the Freebirds when they came in. And, you know, Jimmy Garvin, he was a good heel when he came in. And, he had the matches against David and all that.
Yeah, Gino was a good heel.
Gino was a good heel. I do think that they did that Gino and Chris Adams, the dynamic duo, they had some magic when they went against Kerry and Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't think it was really on the level, though, of what the Freebirds had with them.
Well, I don't think anything they did in Texas was on that level. That was the best thing to come out of World Class.
Yeah. But I do think that the dynamic duo versus Kerry and Kevin was a close second.
Oh. Missing Link was a great hit.
Gang, when he was there.
Yeah.
Kabuki. Yeah. Or Kamala, when he was there, he was a good heel for him.
Yeah. That was before he was really doing a lot of silly shit.
Yeah. That's when he was actually, like, touted as a badass.
Yeah, the Ugandan giant.
Yeah.
All right, we're heading into an hour gone here. We're wrapping up. Final thoughts on this feud. Because I think we've done it justice, and we've talked about a lot of the big moments.
Yeah, and here's the thing. As good as this feud was excellent, but also, too, when you're in a territory. Feuds can only go so far. As long as, you know, the feuds are generating revenue and drawing, you know, ticket sales and all that,
yeah,
they keep going. But, like, when something happens, you know, like David passing or whatever,
yeah,
and the feud starts to lose some steam, you got to cut it.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have a blow-off, which the blow-off was Kevin, Mike, and Fritz versus the Birds.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but yeah, once a feud starts to lose steam, especially back in those days, it ain't coming back up.
I mean, and this makes history for a few different things. This is probably on a lot of people, especially old school fans, which old school wrestling group, we got almost, 17,000 people in there?
Yeah. No, it's got to be over.
There's a lot.
Like over.
There's a lot of people I know that is in there.
There's a lot. I'm adding. I'm adding almost 60 members a day.
Yeah. Big group.
It's 13K.
We're fucking popping out here. We need to get those to buy the Patreon. God damn it.
Yeah. Well, we need to get them on. We need to get them to participate more in the show.
Yeah. So. We love them, though. They love our fans. Now, I lost my train of thought.
Did we love them?
So, anyway, like, the whole thing, the feud, basically, what you were saying is that, like, it's a legendary feud for a lot of reasons.
Okay, yeah. Now I remember. This is probably on everybody's top 10 list, at least old school fans, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably the only top 10 feud of all time, six-man. How many other six-man feuds can you really think of? And even the New Day now, they're usually feuding with other tag teams. Maybe Shield and the Wyatt family, but that's all I can think of.
Shield in the Wild.
I think that's the only one you can really pick. Right there. So Shield in the Wild family.
Yeah. And that was good, but it's not like
New Day and Usos.
That's two
out
of three.
That's
3-on-2.
Sorry, it's really hard to think of.
The only other one I can think of is like when the Horsemen would feud against like a team of three.
Yeah. And even then, they were usually a thrown together team.
Yeah.
Like Dusty and the Road Warriors or something.
Dusty and the Road Warriors, Dusty, Nikita, and Magnum.
But it was still more about the four.
Yes.
This is a six-man feud and wonderfully done. And, you know, one of the greatest feuds in history. If you're a newer guy, if you're a younger guy, you like watching the product now, go on the network and watch some old World Class. You will not be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. You won't be upset. You'll enjoy it because it's good product.
Yep.
Stevie,
I watched some of it.
Give us some final thoughts on this feud, the Von Erichs and the Freebirds, before we head home here.
I would say the feud had to be probably a classic. Probably more entertaining to watch now because their feud was like really intense back then.
Absolutely. Eric,
so,
you got some final thoughts on this feud?
I just wish I had was around when it was. It sounds like it's a great feud. So I don't know what feud compares to this, if there's any feud, even singles. Maybe Austin McMahon? I don't know.
Yeah. No, we are going to be doing a lot of feud retrospectives in the future, and it's exciting.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. We're going to get the feuds that built territories, that carried territories or carried companies.
Yeah.
We did it the last time with Dusty and Flair.
Yeah.
Look at this one here. Right? It built a territory. And the only issue is that when the feud ran its course, unfortunately...
Everything runs its course, though.
Yeah, everything runs its course, but I think this ran its course too soon.
Still got to think, though. That's a two-year run. They feuded for a good 2 years.
Almost 2 years, yeah. Well, it was December of 82... And it ended in May of 84, so about a year and a half.
What other feud lasted?
Yeah.
Continuously like that.
Mainly, it lasted as long as it did because you had so many people involved.
Yep.
All right. Doug, you want to give your final thoughts and then we'll head home?
My final thoughts are these. I really think, and World Class is one of my favorite territories. World Class was actually my favorite territory, and then I actually started watching the Mid-South stuff, and that became my favorite territory. But, like, I would go on, like, kicks of watching, like, I watched so many episodes of Mid-South in a row, so many episodes of World Class in a row. There's only, like, 10 episodes of AWA on the network, and those aren't even worth it because I think half of them suck. But Class, this feud really built the territory, and I became a fan of the Von Erichs. The Freebirds were great heels. I got to meet Carrie's daughter. Yeah.
You bet, Lacey Von Erich. She's hot.
When?
Holy Lord, is she gorgeous. So,
lucky dog.
Weren't you with... No, you weren't with me.
If I was with you, I would have remembered.
Yeah, Mindy and Sharon were with me. Yeah, she was at an appearance. It was her and her, China, and Bill Apter. Bill Apter basically went so he could sell copies of his book. But he forgot to bring enough copies with him because he forgot that he was at a convention, another convention the day before, and he sold out of all his books then. So he didn't bring enough with him.
I remember that.
Yeah, but you weren't with
me. I was supposed to go with
you. But you weren't with me.
I think I was supposed to go with you.
Yeah, you went with me the next. You went with me the next month.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I remember I met Lacey. Mindy was going to meet China. I wanted to meet Lacey. I went up to Lacey and I said, hi and all that. And they asked me, they're like, do you want your picture taken? And at that point, I was just like, I hate having my picture taken. Right? And I said to her, I said, I am such a huge fan of your family. And she said, thank you. And then she showed me she had a ring on. She had Carrie's class ring that she wears with her to autograph signing. And then if somebody were to bring up, I'm a huge fan of your father, she'd always show him the ring.
That's awesome.
And I was just like, oh. But, to me, that was always kind of cool that I got to meet somebody. Because, I've always wanted to meet Carrie, but obviously that can't happen. But, getting to meet her, getting to meet a member of that family. Just everything she had been through, with her father, with her uncles. I mean, because, at the point of Carrie's passing, basically, Carrie was doing everything he could to try to keep Lacey and her sister. All right. When he was going for a bad divorce, he realized that, he wasn't going to be able to keep them, mainly because he was actually supposed to be going to jail on drug charges. And then other stuff happened that I'm not really going to. We may have brought it up during his career retrospective. I'm not sure. But other things happened. Unfortunately, this happened. But the feud between the Von Erichs and the Freebirds is always going to be remembered as it built the territory. And it kept the territory going for a year and a half. But also, the territory stayed hot till 86. But then, of course, bringing in a fake Von Erich and a certain dingo kind of killed the territory.
He had a fake heart attack.
Yeah, that didn't help things.
All right. Plinith, did you learn anything?
Yeah. I learned a lot. I want to look into it.
Yeah, so did I.
I didn't do it.
Awesome. Did our job. All right. Well, guys, thank you for coming on. This was awesome. The Freebird and Von Erich retrospective. We will see you guys Sunday.
Sunday for
me, Boxman, and a special contestant. Special unnamed contestant.
Yeah, mainly because we don't know who that is yet.
Yeah.
oh God, that means I gotta ask this. I gotta ask this person the questions. I gotta get answers from him.
Yes, you do. All right. We will see you all next week. Stevie?
Next week, No Way Out 2001.
Next week, No Way Out 2001.
Okay. It's going to be fun.
I won't talk about what else is going to be planned. Because like I said, I've got March planned out already.
Yeah.
But we'll go 1 week at a time because more than likely it's going to change.
Yeah.
Especially when you win fantasy wrestling this month.
Yes.
Also,
I'm starting a new horror show with my sister. At some point. Horror show.
Oh, that's cool.
Horror.
And don't forget. Don't forget, Doug.
Huh? Would you say?
No. I mentioned this to Doug like last week, March 26th. 20th anniversary of the last WCW.
You did hear me say that we were going to announce this stuff 1 week at a time, right?
But yeah, we will. Oops. Do it.
I mean, it's already in the books. It's already part of the plan. I just said I wasn't going to start plugging it until later in the month.
Okay. Wow. Just want to make sure you remember.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember.
I talked to him about it earlier.
Okay.
I'm going to crap in Doug's Cheerios this morning. Not before anything. We'll see you all next week. Thank you for coming on, Clintus, Stevie, Eric. This was a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
That's not. Peace out, guys.